My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and I'm Reginald Atitula hanging out with you on a Victory Monday. Victory Reaction Monday. I got to get that reaction in there. I do. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We were asking the winners and losers of the weekend last segment, and from 713, they said their winner is them for starting Jaden Reed and getting 30 Ocho fantasy points. Yeah, man. Shout out to Ocho. Look, man, the Packers, I understand they're going to be without Jordan Love. That wide receiving core is young and really solid, right? Mm-hmm. Really talented. They also have one of those any given Sunday type wide receiving cores where it can be the big, fast receiver in Christian Watson, provided that he doesn't drop the football. It can be Jaden Reed. It can be Romeo Doubs. They got some dudes that can really threaten defenses. So it was Jaden Reed getting a whole bunch.
That was a tough, tough loss. Golly, the Jordan Love. Whew.
Yeah, that's tough for them. And, of course, the loser that came up a whole bunch. The Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson. I have a feeling you'll hear more about that gentleman later on in the program. But right now, look, on a Victory Monday, Texans win 29-27, 1-0, first place in the AFC South. These types of days, people are like, look, man, let's talk about the good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, don't really want to hear about the bad. What are you talking about? They won.
Hey, Jeff Van Gundy would argue with that.
So let's... This is the place where we stash the bad,
yeah,
right? Let's talk about the bad with the caveat that, hey, man, we understand. They won.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate that. We talked about them rushing for a whole bunch of yards. Joe Mixon, 159 himself, right? We talked about the offensive line showing up in a way that we did not anticipate. And I mean, in a good way, obviously. We talked about the fact that C.J. Stroud managed to get through some struggles and really had some composure. Obviously, Nico Collins. Big body running downfield, 117 of them things, right? Stephon Diggs, couple touchdowns. We talked about all those. What's some of the downsides? What's some of the negatives? Let's talk about those. And I would like to start. Big plays.
Yep.
Big plays. And, of course, this is going to fall in large part on the defensive secondary, right? Hey, man, there was a lot of run by, right? And there was a lot of run by that also didn't get capitalized on. I know that our guy Clint Sterner, you should listen to 610 on game days, especially after the game. You can get fantastic analysis. You get to hear from CJ. You get to hear from Coach D'Amico. You get to hear all those things right here on our post-game show, Sports Radio 610. And during the course of that, Clint Sterner was talking about the fact that, hey, man, you know, if various things, right, with the way that the Texans played, it was a good game, and obviously it was. And one of the things he said was, if the big thing that you're worried about is just kind of big plays happening, this Texas team is going to play great. And I take umbrage with that. I do. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, and look, I ain't play no professional football nowhere. I ain't play no college football nowhere. Clint has legs up on me on that all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But chunk plays, big plays is something that will absolutely torpedo a team. Like, I think I get where he was going for, and so I'm not trying to be a jerk about this, but no, that is a problem, right? And not only were there big plays, three plays of 50-plus for the Colts in this game.
Think about that.
That's so many yards.
Three plays over 50 yards.
Right, that's 150-plus yards right there. Three plays, boom, gone, right? Yeah. And in some ways, like the first one was, it looked like there was kind of bracket coverage. You had inside, outside between Stingley and Jimmy Ward. And then you just got dude going over top and getting into towards the inside, right? But there was other instances where you just kind of got, dudes got cooked, right? Mm-hmm. And within that, you also had plays where there should have been more. If Anthony Richardson was any level of accurate, there was at least two more, I think.
Touchdowns.
Yeah, touchdowns really should be. A.D. Mitchell got our guy Stingley on what looked like a little bit of maybe what kind of played like a double move. Because it seemed like Stingley sat down on a route, like right about 10 yards where you imagine there would be a break.
Yeah.
And A.D. just went over top and Anthony Richardson just overthrew it. And that made me think, well, oh, did he think that he had the play read out or did he get double moved or what have you? But ultimately, the defensive secondary has got to be better intact because those are the types of plays that can absolutely, one, throw good defense in the trash, right? You could be, you know, stop, you know, like, and holding them, and here's 40 yards, and that negates all of the work that you were doing. Like, those big plays really hurt you.
Yeah.
That's something that needs to get fixed.
No, I'm with you. You're not going to face Anthony Richardson, who can throw it off his back foot after slipping 65 yards in the air every week. You're just not.
Sure.
You may not ever face another guy like that until you get Anthony Richardson again later in the season. But it is on tape. You know, it is on film, so to speak, that they were vulnerable to the deep ball. No question. That's part of it.
And I do wonder how much, like, okay, there was clearly a concerted effort.
Yes.
To stop Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson from tearing you up running the football. And they did a great job, you know, reining that in. Right. So I don't want to negate that. I don't want to neglect that. And I also don't want to neglect the idea that maybe that attention that you put forward is part of what allows, you know, teams to get over top or allows the Colts in this specific situation to get over top of your safeties. However, don't make a habit of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely do not make a habit of that. Plus, right, you already, and I'm going to go back to like the 4.6 40 speed for Kamari Lassiter, right? Like there was already that thing. And the idea that there's not recovery speed there, that recovery speed is necessary in some situations. Like, he's going to be right a lot of times, but in the instances that he's wrong, there's not going to be the opportunity to fix those things. And so, yeah, man, defensive secondary, it just can't look like that. It can't.
Yeah, I got a couple of nits to pick as well. And by the way, that Jeff Van Gundy reference, for those who don't know it, is do not ignore in victory what you would not ignore in defeat.
Correct.
And this is the one, you know, what a freaking game Joe Mixon had.
Yes.
That is a workload.
30 carries, man.
That is a workload.
We going old school, man.
Yeah, I know, but it is not sustainable in today's NFL, I feel. Maybe he's a unicorn, you know, and he'll have 25 to 30 like Earl Campbell, you know, every week. My thing is you got to be able to lighten the workload. They will. I mean, this was a game plan type thing, and it also developed over the course of the game that they decided, you know what, let's just feed the beast here. But that is a big, big workload. That is something you can't ignore because it will catch up. It catches up to everyone.
So another nitpick that I'd like to throw out here. Run defense, even though we talked about the fact that they were able to kind of corral this thing a decent amount, right? Like, I think that's a total of just over 100 rushing yards for the Colts in total, 48 for Jonathan Taylor, who, I mean, what, 130 on average before this against this team, right? It wasn't just like it wasn't a pass fail, or if you took it away from a pass fail, there was some ups and downs within the run defense, especially like really early on, like with Anthony Richardson.
That's what I put that in my passing thoughts, kind of the way it flip-flopped.
Yeah, man.
Early on, it wasn't great.
No, and Henry Toa is the one to look at, right? Like, that's one of those guys that you were looking at, like, hey, man, you know, what are you going to do? Did that tackling improve? And one of the things I liked in one of those early plays is, oh, man, he's in the run fit. Like, he's where he needs to be. And then you kind of just miss the tackle. And I'm like, oh, is that Jonathan Taylor just being, a breaker of tackles? Or is that going to be a continued issue? So I'm going to continue watching that space. But, yeah, when you talk about missed tackles, also, if we're talking about missed tackles, Our guy, Jalen Petrie. Make sure to check out fee5more.org. I say that because here comes the negative side of the positive, right?
Hey, dog, like that, the questions that people had, I don't think there were very many answers there for
him. Well, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because earlier I said I kind of gave him a star, so to speak, because I said there weren't any major gaffes. There was one that I didn't forget.
Yeah,
I forgot about.
If you were inclined to believe,
but I thought he was okay for the most part. But there was a major gaffe.
Yeah, like I mean, one of those, you just got trucked by a dude who is really strong in a small area. Like you just didn't have very much there, and that's the Anthony Richardson touchdown on the run.
Yeah,
but there was another Anthony Richardson run where in open field, Jalen Petrie. If you wanted to be cynical, you could have made the argument that maybe just maybe.
Cramp.
He didn't want to tackle. I'm not trying to say that, right? I'm not saying that about him.
Yeah.
I know if me personally, I wouldn't want to tackle, but I'm also not built to be an NFL player, right? But I'm trying to be as fair as I can with that.
How about this? And tell me if this is just me or if anybody else feels this way about picking nits here.
Yes.
The Texans looked a little out of sync with game management.
Yes, absolutely.
They really did to me. I mean, they, and not just the end of the first half debacle that we've talked about, but kind of the, like, you know, D'Amico went for it and got it, you know, late in the game. Imagine what we'd be saying if he had not gotten it on top of the end of the first half, on top of the two-point conversion, on top of the two-point conversion play call, on top of the block punt. Like, they won, and we are happy, and they are in a good place.
Yes.
I said earlier, I think they're going to start season 4-0. I would bet on that. But they looked a little out of sync, which was something that we never said, Figgy, last year, ever. Like, their game management was always on point, and they just looked a little off.
And I don't know. When I bring this up, I want it to be clear. Like, the way that I view coaching decisions is, if you can defend it, I'm good with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty, you know, lenient on some of those. Like, if there's a defensible stance there, I'm good with it, right? Because some of this just then comes down to taste, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this falls squarely within that, but. Even in that first quarter, right, you go for it on fourth down on the first drive, I believe, or early in the first drive. And then later in the first drive, they kick the field goal on fourth down mm-hmm. in similar situation. And I was like, huh, that's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've already been in a place where you've been aggressive, but you're like, I'm just going to take the points. Ultimately, those points are useful, right? That's one of the 50-plus yard field goals that Kyemi Fairbairn nails. But I'm like, okay, you've already been aggressive here. And it felt like, okay, there was a little bit of settling in, finding a level in some ways that seemed to, you know, kind of be all the way around this game for D'Amico and the coaching staff.
The other thing about the game management that I didn't mention, Tommy Townsend kind of looked like he nonchalanted that block punt. Why does that relate to game management? Because it was very obvious the way that the Colts were lining up that punt block was on. Now, I know they fall out of it sometimes and all that. It was pretty damn obvious that they were coming off the edges. And he just kind of seemed to nonchalant that punt. I mean, maybe I'm picking nits on that, but that's what this segment is all about. Just game management, et cetera. One other one that I had, and it is sort of just a running joke on this show, but there's going to be a moment when a Laremy Tunsil false start costs this team. Like, costs this team in a big moment, and maybe even in a big moment that could lead to the outcome of a game. And he had two of them again yesterday.
Were you surprised that there wasn't any illegal formations for the Texans? I think there was one for the Colts, if my memory serves.
Yeah.
Were you surprised at all that's the way that went?
A little bit, because Tunsil seemed to be on the brink a couple of times to me, didn't he? Like, he was...
I actively
like
looked and I was
kind
like,
of, sort of, kind of.
I was like, there's one fiber on that belt of Juice Scruggs that is being broken by Laremy Tunsil's helmet, just barely. They really were pushing that lining up to the edge, but yeah. He was also trying to get those jumps, and those popped up. I think there was maybe like four of those false starts there. I mean, is that something that we believe can be, and it's crazy to say it that way, because like, hey man, it feels like with the details, if there's enough focus or whatever, you can get that right. Is that something that we believe is going to be exercised by any means, or is that just going to be something that you have to live with in some ways?
Are you talking about the false starts?
Yeah.
We've lived with it for 4 years, 5 years, and he's so good that we, like I said, it kind of becomes a running joke here because they overcome it. But now the stakes, you know, we've talked about it all offseason. The stakes are really, really high. You're going to be in some really, really important games.
One of them was a drive killer.
And one of them was a drive
killer.
Killed
the drive.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
So in a huge game, in a big moment, an ill-timed false start by Laremy Tunsil is going to cost this team.
Some other ones when we're talking about nitpicking, and some folks are texting. We always appreciate you do that. 713-572-4610. Somebody asked from the 281, why was Akers inactive? And
that's a good one.
I mean, you can only
Pierce was active.
I was like, you can only activate so many. We had that conversation on Friday, right? Obviously, Joe Mixon is going to be active to the tune of 30 carries. We know that British Brooks is going to be active for his special teams. We know that Dare Ogunbowale is going to be active for his role, special teams, whatever. You got three dudes active. There's going to be one more. Like, you're not going to activate five running backs. I don't think you have that particular type of game or team here. And so who was the other one? And again, they have been consistent on this, right? We are the ones who have been like hemming and hawing.
Yeah.
The Texans have been consistent about this. Damian Pierce is running back too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that only got solidified by the fact that Damian Pierce looked fine in his, what was that, three carries?
Yeah, three carries, 19 yards, whatever
right?
it was.
And I can give you the actual amount of snaps if I go back and look here. But like it just for, let's see, Damian Pierce, 9 snaps he was on the field, right? That's what we're talking about thereabouts. He was fine. Like, but he was not an issue, and I think that's they're going to be emboldened to continue doing
but
that.
But doesn't that tie in with my first nitpick of the workload on Joe Mixon? You have to have a back that, in a game like this where you're running the ball a lot, can be productive. And I'm not saying he was not productive,
yeah,
because he was good enough in the three carries, but you have to have the confidence that he can get 10 or 12 carries if need be. And is Damian Pierce that guy, or are we going to end up seeing Cam Akers kind of like the Devin Singletary role last year, come in after a few games and be the second running back?
I think it's a worthwhile question, I think, and it will be asked at some point because, I mean, it's just impossible for him to go the entire season, Joe Mixon, that is, carrying the ball 30 times. And I understand there's going to be some games where it's going to be more pass-heavy just generally.
Sure.
But even 20-sometimes, right, there's going to be games where that kind of slips back and maybe another running back is necessary. I do think that they're still going to be in a place where, hey, until it proves to be a failure in that way, Damian Pierce is going to get every opportunity to do that. And thankfully for the Texans and everything there, it did look good enough, right? And I mean, good enough feels like it's that feels real slight to say, right? That feels like a mean thing to say. But I think
you get
what I mean. Like it did look like it was sufficient for this to continue being the case for the Texans in the running game. So there you go. There's our Victory Monday nitpick. Keep texting those in if you got more things that you'd like to nitpick. We didn't even talk about pass protection. You had a little bit of
negativity. Pass protection. Look, how awesome was C.J. Stroud manipulating the pocket, having command, being able to extend a plays, make the plays, that play across the field, which is a no-no that he made perfectly.
Yes,
perfectly well.
But he was on the run, baby.
But you can't make a habit of running for your life back there.
No,
you just can't. I mean, it's going to catch up to you.
And hopefully, eventually, that will be more of a credit to Quiddy Pay and Latu and Grover Stewart and DeForest Buckner as opposed to more of an indictment of the Texans line. We'll see how that plays out as we continue the Texans season. But as of right now, 1-0. First place atop the AFC South after a 29-27 victory over the Colts. It's In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, you know what time it is. Let's get some Figgy's mixtape. What we got?
Yeah, we got the good, the bad, and the ugly from football this weekend. And is Deshaun Watson a better person off the field than on the field?
Uh-oh.
That was a real discussion.
And we're going to have that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610 on this Victory Monday. Shout out to everybody whose favorite team won. I know my favorite team won yesterday, so I'm feeling pretty good. And I just want to go through the good, the bad, and the ugly of this football weekend. Let me cue up my music real quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
There we go.
Oh, he's really got it.
The good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend. I got to start with the good. Shout out to NIU coach, Coach Thomas Hammack.
Yes.
He got a big dub. That was the biggest dub in their school history. They never beat a top 10 college team. And I really felt happy for this dude. This is him right after the game on the field talking to a reporter about how this makes him feel.
Top 5 opponent. This is NIU's first win against a top 10 opponent ever. And for people who need context, you wore this jersey. It's deep for you. Why?
Yeah, I'm so proud of our kids, the coaches, just everybody. They believed. They believed. And we came here and got it done.
Where's this emotion coming from for you?
You know, all these guys that have been with our program, been through the ups and downs, and to continue to fight.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they my kids. I'm happy for the adversity, the push through. But, you know, no matter the situation, I just couldn't be more proud. I'm sorry.
See, that's how you're supposed to do it, man. Not like that coach up north that was crying like a baby after he won.
Wow, how did this become?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you do it,
man. How does
it
become Sherrone Morseland?
Hey, that's how you do it. Salute to him. And this is him in the locker room talking to his kids.
Listen, what you can do with the power of belief and working together and just staying through it, through thick and thin, that's what we are. That's a team. That's a family. That's guys that want it. I told you all week, we did not need luck.
Salute to that man. Salute the NIU for coming up with that big win.
How can you not? I mean, just the emotion on the field was like just so sincere and just awesome. And then you always like an underdog like that?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. You was hate watching, though, for a different reason, right?
No, I was not. I was not. Shout out to Notre Dame.
Wow. That's. Yeah, no, but it really is cool. Like, especially a dude that you could tell like cares a ton.
Yeah,
and I mean, sometimes we end up in this place where we impart too much on these things, and I might be veering into that territory. But it really does feel like that dude cares about those dudes that he's coaching up in a way that it's a passion for him.
No question.
Right? It feels like very much that's the case, and so. I feel like that's where the emotion comes from when he's being interviewed, and that's where, you know, he's able to sell them guys on the idea that, hey man, I believe in you, and you don't need luck, and you can get out there and win. And on a day like today, you get your point proven, and I think that's really cool.
The bad, the Giants are bad, man.
Very,
very, very bad.
They made the Vikings look like some world beaters. Yeah, I'm not sure that that's the case.
It kind of got me questioning a little bit. I'm like, man, we've been sleeping on Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Never.
Oh, dang.
Although, in a way, I am one of those football dorks that's like, I think Sam Darnold in the right situation could be a little bit better.
I hear you, but they've been saying that about him for how long?
That's right. When he went to the Panthers, it was like, here we go. Yeah. His opportunity. He went to the Niners, it was like, oh man.
Yeah.
Just give him an opportunity to step up there. And so here he goes with the Vikings, blowing out the Giants.
Yeah, man. Speaking of the Giants, Malik Nabers, first round draft pick receiver for the Giants. Was asked by a reporter after the game, after the bad loss, did you feel like Daniel Jones were trying to get you some enough looks?
Did you feel that he didn't look for you as much as you would have expected?
I mean, I don't know really what was going on back there, but I'm getting out my routes and I'm just trying to make a play, trying to find him, trying to make a better throw for him to make. I was just doing my job. I mean, that's all I can do.
Hey,
that's my favorite brand of response.
Hey, I say the same thing whenever something ain't going right here. I'll be like, hey, I'm just here to work.
That's my favorite type of response.
Like, I'm just here to do my job.
That's not my department. My ministry.
I like the way he stumbled at first because he was like, I don't know what's going on back there.
You know, he's rookie.
I don't know really what was going on back there.
That's above me.
That's all he needed to say right there.
They don't pay me to think about all that. They pay me to run these routes.
I'm just here to do my job. That's all I can focus on, man.
Hey,
I don't know what's going on back there, but
I got enough stuff on my plate right here. Yeah. This is my job. I'm trying to work through it. If the ball gets back here, that's on them over there. I love that.
Speaking of bad, so you know how whenever your team get a good victory and whenever they leave in the stadium, you still got the fans there.
They're chomping at the bit to give you all your love.
So it was some Giants fans that was waiting for Daniel Jones.
Well, they were chomping at their bit too.
And remember, they didn't win, but they waited for him to come out so he can go to his
car. Jump him?
I don't know, but this is what it sounded like. Get to the car.
Yeah. And it was a long walk. It was a long walk.
That's nasty work, man.
Over 100 yards, about close to 100 yards, and all the way down that fence line. Dude, when you've got people waiting for you after a game for the sole...
Not 200 yards? Because then it'd been more that he threw for.
Yeah. For the sole purpose of heckling and booing you, you got a problem.
That's dedication, man.
You got a problem.
Yeah, that's tough. I do love that they're basically not just asking for refunds. They're like, hey man, you clearly are getting more than you need out of that check. Go ahead and pass that around, buddy. Yeah.
Peel one off. Peel a million off for me.
Yeah, man, for having to watch that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That was the bad. Now we got to get to the ugly.
Oh, okay.
The Cleveland Browns.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That is correct.
That was an ugly game for them. It was bad. It was ugly.
I forgot Jerry Jeudy played there.
Yeah.
I had completely forgotten.
Yeah, so for me, the kind of, you know, I was kind of hate watching a little bit to kind of see crash burn.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was the Fox game, America's game of the week.
I definitely was.
But I actually watched the whole thing to hate even more.
Oh, yeah. You were you were really hating.
A bad game, you turning it off.
Once we got to the third quarter, it was a known result there.
Yeah.
So I wanted to hate listen a little more this morning. So I decided to get on the Odyssey app and listen to 92.3 The Fan with my man Ken Carmen. And they decided to open the phone lines up for the first call.
Oh, boy. I saw something, but I didn't hear it.
I saw!
Yeah, exactly.
This was the first call.
Are you ready to go to the phones?
Sure.
All right. Dave in Macedonia, you're first up on The Fan. Hello.
There's two numbers. You'll figure them out. 42.9, 144.
What is all this?
Watson's quarterback rating. Mayfield's quarterback rating.
Oh, Christ. I can't do this for one more second. No, there's enough. The first call out of the box, we're going to do this. I know what his quarterback rating was. I know that he was good. Guys, I'm not doing it right out of the damn box. Can I have a little bit of time before we do this? Can I have a little bit of time? That he ain't coming home. He ain't coming back. Only to play us. That's it. He had a great day down there. Congratulations on all his success. I can't undo the trade. I can't undo it.
Man, they bringing up Baker Mayfield,
they
man.
They should.
It's not just
they
bringing
should.
Up Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
That is a battered radio host.
Oh, Ken
right?
Carmen. Ken Carmen's had it up to here.
That
man.
Is a battered radio host. Just the mention of Baker Mayfield's name
can't
sent that man
it.
Into a rage, a fit of rage. He has been hurt. He's been abused. He is done.
He's scarred.
It also doesn't hurt that, you know, they were playing the Dallas Cowboys, right?
And
look. They be fumbling in the playoffs, but that's a good team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers are playing the Commandos.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little bit of a difference there. Doesn't make it any less funny though.
Yeah, he was pretty battered, but I got somebody else that was pretty battered.
Oh,
too.
No.
Somebody that's close to my heart.
Really?
My mother-in-law. Shout out to my mother-in-law, mm-hmm. Kim Davis.
Mm-hmm.
So she usually FaceTime my wife every morning. Hey, good morning.
Yeah.
Hey, Edward. And all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, how you doing? And I decided to
go there?
Take her off a little bit.
Oh, I said, you a jerk.
Hey, how was that Browns game?
Nah.
And this is how it went.
What'd you say?
Get back our money from Deshaun. You know what? I don't know. We need Deshaun need to run back that money. I want to prorate his contract.
Hey, so who you want to start at quarterback?
See, I don't know. Oh, what's Flacco? We still got Flacco?
Nah, he with the Colts.
Damn. Damn, we always I don't know who we have.
Yeah.
Hell, let's see who Standing Nation's got playing with them. See, can't they do something? Who's Ohio State's quarterback look like? Somebody. But it's not Deshaun. It's not Deshaun.
Baker Mayfield look good in Tampa Bay.
Get me out. Pissing me off. I wonder if we could get Baker back. But you know what? Baker should come back because he f***ed around while he was here. He wasn't what he should have been here. And then he you know, matured a little bit and went ahead and got his little stuff back together. Yes, Baker should come back and we should just mend our fences with him.
Yeah, I think he's happy in Tampa.
Yeah, I don't blame him. Like I said, we can keep Deshaun. He just needs to run that, prorate that money.
Prorate the money.
Because he just living like, because he has, I don't give a f**k at you. I'm going to make my money regardless. I'm going to throw this ball out of the shop, whatever. It's going to connect. It's not going to connect. It don't matter. I'm getting paid. He needs to work for his money, and he is not working for his money.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about his dad. He should have took off and grieved in peace, not grieved on that field.
Hey, yo.
Wow.
Hey, wow. Yo. I did not know it was going to go there, man.
Oh, my goodness.
This is week one.
That's week one.
And this is week one.
All I said was, how was that Browns game?
Yeah.
You know
and
what you
it
were
went
doing.
There.
You know what you know.
But here's the thing. Like, how ugly can it get? This is week one. Ken Carmen is blowing a gasket. Your mother-in-law just went on a rant. And it's all over Cleveland and Cleveland fans.
It's all over.
I really thought she was going to be like, it don't matter who else, just not him. I really thought. But she put thought into it and she was like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess he could stay. You just got to make sure to pay it back.
Prorate that money.
She said, I guess. She was like, whatever, man. That again, yeah, that's broken. He is broken, though.
Yeah. We're going to get out of here with one last ugly thing. Mm-hmm. So I was listening to Pardon My Take, the PMT guys.
Yeah.
And they actually had the discussion about this, about if Deshaun Watson, is he a better player or a better person off the field than on the field? That was an actual discussion. And this is how it went.
Deshaun Watson is so bad at football now, I think you could say that he's a better person than football player. I think
he's so bad at football.
I would say
he's a bad person.
I would say as good as he is at quarterback, even better human being.
Yeah, that's how bad he is at football now.
Yeah.
He's a better human than football player.
Yeah.
Because he's so bad at football.
That's a great spin zone.
Yeah. He somehow reversed it.
It's close.
It is close.
It's week,
it's a race to the bottom.
It's week to week. Mincy asked if he can even show his face in Cleveland after this. I was like, I think that's the only part of his body he is allowed to show.
Correct.
Maybe not even the worst NFL contract ever. Maybe not even the worst sports contract ever. Deshaun Watson might have the worst contract ever.
We got to look it up. I mean, Louisiana Purchase, I feel like we got that for like a couple nickels.
We fleeced.
Yeah.
Yeah, we fleeced.
We got them.
Maybe White Star Cruise Lines.
Yeah.
To build the Titanic.
Yeah.
Pretty bad contract.
And then it's Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, close second.
It's ugly in Cleveland, man.
That's nasty business.
Week one.
It's week one, man. It's ugly.
It is the worst contract in NFL history. It is the worst trade in NFL history.
Nah, it sounds like that's the worst contract ever in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Damn, that is crazy because you're damn near, if not better, than the Herschel trade.
Oh, no. We used to argue that way. Is it going to ever be as bad as the Herschel Walker trade? The answer is yes.
Well, yeah, because it's quarterback. Because it's quarterback in the pay. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Man. Well, more power to him. Good luck with that.
Yeah,
we over here thriving.
Good luck on your next vacation and all those Instagram posts.
Hey, we good. Hey, that's one thing about me. Like, I had fun doing this, but I'm looking with my current girlfriend, man. I'm not looking at my ex. I'm cool.
All right, Stephon.
I
watch it.
Hey, I'm good. Exactly, man. He was spitting facts. I ain't worried about my ex.
Yeah.
I'm good over here.
Hey, appreciate you hanging out with us. It's In the Loop. That's Figgy's mixtape. 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here in the loop. Sports Radio 610. I just accidentally threw my pen across the room.
It's all right.
You love seeing that.
You're not the first.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm sure they did that in Cleveland.
Yeah,
sure
for much different reasons. Much different reasons. A victory Monday, or victory reaction Monday, that is, here in the loop. After a Texans 29-27 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. Coming up next, has your perspective changed on these Texans after 1 week of football? It seems kind of insane, but is it? We'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
On first and goal, CJ with the toss to Mixon, running left, and he's in! Touchdown, Houston, Joe Mixon. 3-yard TD run.
I like the end zone dance, too. Love it.
Yeah, shout out to Joe Mixon,
I'm trying to remember what it was. His dance?
That's a great point.
I can't remember it.
I just remember vividly.
Stephon's was pretty cool.
I just remember vividly being like, he's excited.
Yeah, he is.
He's in a good way, in a good place. Yeah, Texans get a victory 29-27 over the Colts. So this now is a victory reaction Monday.
It
here
absolutely is.
In Loop Sports Radio 610, getting ready to hand off to the homies, Ron and Clint on the drive, and T-Mill. I don't want to forget T-Mill. Excited for that. But does this win against the Colts change your perspective on the Texans at all? Positive or negative?
Here? Yes, it does. Actually, it's more of a confirmation.
Okay.
Confirmation of what we've suspected, what I've suspected anyway. You know, we've talked all offseason about they have everything now. They have all the parts. You know, this is a quality team. And people around the league have said the same. But when you run the ball like that, and not just run the ball successfully, run the ball when, as D'Amico said in his availability after the game, they knew we were going to run, we knew we were going to run, and we still ran, and they just you know, smashed it down their throats, you know?
Your words, not his?
My words, not his. I'm paraphrasing here. That's what successful big-time playoff teams do. In moments like that, when it's very obvious what you have to do and what they're going to try to stop you from doing, and you do it anyway. Like, I actually was, you know, obviously watching the Sunday night football game last night. What did the Lions do when they had to? When they absolutely, it was a tied game, they come back and tie it. The Lions are an acknowledged Super Bowl contender, maybe even some would say a favorite to get to the Super Bowl, although the Niners have something to say about that. But, like, they are a Super Bowl caliber team. They ran the ball 7 out of 8 times in overtime, went all the way down the field, scored the game-winning touchdown. That's what the Texans did, man. They're in that category. It was confirmation of what they can be this year.
Yeah, man, that's really, for me, the big thing that shifted in some ways is I don't remember, I don't know if you recall, on Friday, the way that I was generally feeling was I'm, you know, high hopes for this team. Mm-hmm. I am optimistic, but I want to see some things.
Yeah.
And chief amongst those was, like, how solid is the run game going to be? Because, mm-hmm. look, there's a lot of belief in Joe Mixon and his capabilities. I would love to do a head count on how many people would have given you 159 on the ground,
yeah,
right? 30
yeah.
carries, right? I don't know how many people would have assumed that. Like, I also would love to see if we could somehow go back in time or, you know, do the, you know, some level of, you know, advanced analytics of what would be kind of that expectation if it wasn't 159. Would people have been like, oh, yeah, he's going to give you 70,
mm-hmm.
70 yards or what have you? Like, this level of performance, especially when you look at that particular defensive line when yeah. it came to running the football, at will, according to the 713, which is absolutely correct. Shout out to Ocho.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, that feels different. Like, I literally made notes, the notes that I did not enjoy taking, yeah. right, on this game. One of the notes was, oh, Joe Mixon has changed this team.
Yeah, that's
because of the yes. capability that he had. And obviously, a lot of credit is due, as Joe Mixon gave, to mm-hmm. the offensive line and to Stover playing fullback alongside some other guys getting in there
yeah.
with some fullback reps. But the way that he was able to take a blocked up 1 yard run and make it a 4 or 5 yard run, those types of things, those are the types of things that you have with a special team. And you compare them to the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions are a team that are known to
That's
be
what
that
I'm
kind
saying.
Of
yeah.
physical team, right?
They are now that when they need to be.
And that, yeah, that absolutely makes me feel different about this team offensively. I will say defensively, I do have a little bit,
mm-hmm.
some I don't know if doubt or, you know, something to that negative effect.
Trepidation.
Crept in a little bit. When it came to those big plays, I'm not going to lie. The frequency with which they happen.
Yeah.
Right? Because I was like, yeah, look, the safeties will clear some of that up. And that's some naivete, not necessarily looking into. Yeah, I understand the safeties are a place where they're, I don't know if I would call them a weakness, but there was a place where we were watching. Right? Yeah. But I was like, look, man, Kamari has handled his own in a good way. Stingley is Stingley. Like, all right, this would be cool. And it's like, hey, yeah. okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit. There's possibilities that they can get got at. And if Anthony Richardson was, let's say, let me see if I shift Anthony Richardson to Jacoby Brissett, how do you feel about some of those big plays possibly?
Well, they don't
now,
happen.
You don't get the 65.
Yeah, right, they don't happen. Yeah.
But, like, some of those ones, like some of the 80 Mitchell ones where he's out here open, mm-hmm. some of those.
And he'd be more accurate.
Right.
Because of that.
Or change Anthony Richardson to Geno Smith.
Exactly.
Right, and now you're definitely in a different mm-hmm. place. And so I'm not saying that you're going to see Geno Smith. He's in the NFC, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the point being, an adequate quarterback has a possibility of maybe making you pay, and I think those chunk plays are things that can be really problematic. So that also did shift some of my perspective where I was like, ooh, okay, that definitely needs to be cleaned.
Yeah, look, of all the things that we talked about coming into training camp and the preseason and into the season, where's your concern? Safety was one of them. It was on every list.
Yeah.
It was on every list, and safety is where you can still say, all right, that's still kind of on the list. You're not going to face the big arm like Anthony Richardson. I mean, how many people can even throw a ball off their back foot 65 yards? Maybe two, three. So you're not going to have that. But to your point, you're going to have smart quarterbacks knowing how to manipulate the safeties in the secondary and maybe take advantage of that. But I just feel like with Joe Mixon, you know, able to do what he did in the fourth quarter, it's not always going to be to get 159 yards.
What? I was penciling that.
Breaking news. But even if, let's say, he's good for three and a half quarters, and he's got like 78 yards rushing, and he's had an impact, when you need him in the fourth quarter, that's really my bigger point. To have a guy that can do that in the fourth quarter, that's what the Texans have done to reach another level. And on top of that, I feel like this is going to be something that we talk about all year long, and it's kind of being glossed over because of what Joe Mixon did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
C.J. Stroud is flat better manipulating the pocket, commanding the offense, making the best decisions, and that was something he was great at last year. But I feel like with the offensive line sort of giving it up early and putting him under pressure with some of these other things that were going on, he was great back there, finding space, looking in the right places, not necessarily tucking and running all the time as soon as things go bad, you know, and making plays. So the combination
being cool and calm,
that's it.
Slipping on the field and not immediately, one, turtling up and just accepting a sack.
Yeah.
Recognizing, hey, this play is still alive, looking, keeping his eyes downfield or getting them back downfield as soon as humanly possible.
How about the one when he's on his knees?
Yeah, exactly. That's the one.
And then the one across the field, which you're not supposed to do, but it seemed like there was such a big space.
Yeah, that's one of those rules that's meant to be broken if you're good enough.
Or if it's open enough.
Yeah.
You know, like, just those two throws alone and the way he worked the pocket and evaded pressure and stepped up and stepped out when he needed to step up or step out. Like, I feel like Joe Mixon clearly is the headline here. But, man, C.J. Stroud, you know, as much as we were hoping this is the case, he looked better. He looked better as a commanding the offense and in the pocket.
And that's in a game where it was not the flashiest that it could be. It was not the super high end that you anticipate that CJ is capable of, or that you've even seen him be capable of.
Mm-hmm.
This was, I think, when it comes down to it, like, he made the plays that were necessary, including just a dot on the sideline to Nico Collins, right? And this was probably one that you go, yeah, it was a solid game. Right, that's all right. And
no, he had 234 yards. Cool. No, exactly. Dude, he was great in some of those certain instances.
Almost ho-hum in some ways, which I think is, you know, exemplary of the fact that he's just a different level of quarterback now.
Yeah.
A few things to note when it comes to programming. D'Amico Ryan slated to talk at 2:30. And if I know our guys the way that I know them, you will hear that on the drive with Clinton Ron later on. And then a note that we don't need to really dig into right this moment, but I mean, as we're coming up on the weekend later through the week, this will become an interesting space to watch. Roma Dunze, who is a wide receiver for the Chicago Bears, your next opponent. You'll see them on the upcoming Sunday, Sunday Night Football, right? Roma Dunze, it seemed like he got rolled up on and has a knee injury. He's going to have that looked at. And so that's going to be an interesting play. I mean, he only had one catch for 11 yards in this game. Oh, sorry. Yes, one catch, 11 yards for the Bears in their first game.
Wasn't a lot of catches in that game.
No, it wasn't.
Caleb Williams does not need another weapon gone.
But, yeah, that's a tough thing. Yeah, Caleb Williams ultimately had, 93 yards passing?
Yeah.
And is the first rookie quarterback making his debut in week one to get a win since 2002.
Well, that's the only thing you can say about these guys. I mean, Bo Nix struggled. Caleb struggled. Who was the other?
Both of them 42 times for 139.
There was another one that struggled too. Who else is out there that struggled? I don't know what he ended up with, but Daniels. I mean, his statistics were. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were losing pretty hefty, you know, pretty convincingly, and his statistics weren't there really. I don't think any of them really lit it on fire.
No, Texans are going 4-0. You can book
to start the
4-0, huh?
Yeah, you can book that.
Woo!
Yeah, you can book
that. I tried to see if I could get them to go 6-0.
Nah, because then you got Buffalo coming in, we'll see. And then you go to New England, and I don't know what the heck they are, but they looked pretty dang good yesterday.
Yeah.
But the first four, Chicago, and then at Minnesota, and then Jacksonville here. Come on. 4-0. 4-0 start.
It's very possible, and yesterday was very, very convincing, boys. You had the ability to run the football like that to what we saw this offense do with C.J. Stroud, one less weapon, and Bobby Slowick and Gerard Johnson last year. Now you add Diggs in that running game. Hey, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as convincing as a single game can be for any team.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot to be convinced by within this game. I'm going to be the dude who's going to leave this on a negative note. I was listening to you and you and Sean on the post-game show, Sports Radio 610 here. And you were talking about the big plays that were given up on the backside, and you seemed to have a little bit of calmness about it. You weren't really all that worried about that. If you could kind of explain a little bit further why that is the case, because I mean, chunk plays are.
Then why you gotta go and do this, man? It's supposed to be a positive.
Let me spin it positive. It's very simple. I'm not worried about it one bit. I mean, there ain't but a handful of quarterbacks that can throw that thing 68 yards in the air. First of all, it was a quarters coverage.
Uh-huh.
You're playing a predominant run team where stopping the run is first and foremost, so your safeties are playing a little bit lower. It's a quarters coverage right there where you're supposed to bracket Pierce. And it got through at 68 yards in the air, man.
What about them other three?
One of them was a jump ball that a defender gets pinned by a bigger receiver. I'm not worried about that. He's in position, just didn't make the play. Again, when you play a group of receivers that are 6'3", 6'4", they're going to go up and
make some 50-50. The ones he didn't hit had me more worried.
That's what I'm talking about.
The ones he didn't hit
The double move to Adonai Mitchell was a little – those are concerning.
Okay.
Those two are more concerning than the ones he hit.
Okay. All right, very good.
In my opinion. I mean, look.
Look, you're going to get that level of analysis, but remember, it's the Texans' victory reaction Monday here on Sports Radio 610.
Y'all ain't
going to
get me in trouble.
Ain't no trouble, man. Y'all got a lot of positivity coming here on the next 4 hours. You're listening to KILT, KILT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And ladies and gentlemen, on a victory Monday, The Drive is live.
The Drive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.